This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, your weekly hour of radio drama, which you can find every Tuesday at RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from The Adventures of the Falcon. We'll hear The Case of the Friendly Target from September 24th, 1950. After that, it's the Damon Runyon Theater and Leopard's Spots. That story aired January 30th, 1949.
Hello? Yes, this is the Falcon speaking.
Oh, Myrna.
I'd love to see you tonight, Angel, but somebody took a shot at one of my clients, and he's afraid it may happen again. And you know, a thing like that can become pretty monotonous. So much so that my client could get bored to death.
The Adventures of the Falcon, starring Les Damon. You met the Falcon first in his best-selling novels. Then you saw him in his thrilling motion picture series. Now, join him on the air when the Falcon solves... The Case of the Friendly Target. And now, The Case of the Friendly Target. It's late evening in New York when a sedan pulls up to the head of an alley and two men get out.
All right, Mitch. All clear. Let's go.
Yeah, Connie. It's dark in this alley.
Never mind, Mitch. Don't use the flashlight yet. We'll find it. It's the first door. Ah, here we are.
Where are you, Connie? I can't see.
Right over here.
Wait. Oh, yeah.
Allison sets a simple lock. Won't take a minute. I'll hold a light. Work fast so we won't have to have it on long.
Okay.
Can you see?
Yeah, Connie, now I... Hey, where'd the other light come from?
There's a spot on us. It's a trap.
All right, you fellas. Put up your hands and don't make any other move. We have you covered.
What do we do?
It's a trash barrel. Drop behind it.
Okay.
They get you, Mitch?
No, I made it. Now what?
No use, Connie. We've got both ends of the alley covered.
Connie, they know your name.
Yeah, it's a trap, all right. They were waiting for us. Where'd I get that
out? We gotta get out of here first.
Come on out, both of you, with your hands up. We're coming after you.
We'll have to make a run for it.
You're crazy, Connie. They're all around us with guns. And with the spot on us, they see us, and we can't see them.
I'm not letting them take me. Come on.
Connie.
Do like I tell you. Run for the car.
I have to go right through their fire.
It's our only chance.
I'll never make it.
Okay, take your choice. Their guns or mine.
What?
That's my gun in your back. When I count three, you start running or I pull a trigger.
Oh, Connie, no.
We've got 30 seconds, Connie. Toss out your guns and come out reaching or we start firing.
That'll be all we need. You going, Mitch?
No, Connie, I can't.
One.
You go, Connie. Leave me here.
They'll sure hit one of us alone. Our only chance is to run at the same time. Give them a split target.
I can't, Connie. Please.
No.
15 seconds, Connie.
Three. Don't shoot, Connie. I'm going.
Just me, Allison. Sorry to wake you up.
Connie.
Yeah. You ought to sleep with your windows open, Allison. The fresh air's good for you.
What do you want? Why didn't you come to the door?
Windows offer less resistance. I want it in with no arguments.
I don't get it. Did something go wrong?
Did something go wrong, you stoolie?
Stoolie? What happened? Did they get the alarm fixed?
We never had time to find out. They were waiting for us.
Stay.
The law. as if you didn't know.
I didn't. Don't let go.
You're going to pay for this, Allison. You're going to pay fast because your pals, the cops, are going to figure me to come here. But I couldn't run off without saying goodbye.
No, you got it wrong, Connie. Believe me.
It's no use, Allison. You were the one who steered me into the trap.
I didn't know it was a trap, honest.
Not much.
I didn't.
I don't have time to argue.
Just let me explain.
Let's explain. I got the dope from you.
And I got it from somebody else. This is a stoolie. It's him, not me.
Sure.
That's the honest truth, so help me. I thought he was on the level. I didn't know about
it. All right, you got it from somebody else. Who else?
What are you going to do to him?
Who else?
Oh. If I tell you, will you lay off me?
Depends. Now, who is it?
Before I...
I'll talk.
I'm listening.
It's Wagner. Frank Wagner.
Yeah? Why didn't you tell me about this when you laid out the job?
Wagner's been going straight. They didn't want nobody to know he was selling information. At least, that's what he told me.
If this is just a stall, Allison...
No, it isn't. It isn't. Get hold of Wagner. Make him talk. You'll find out.
Sure, Allison. I intend to.
Hello. Hello, operator. This is Mrs. Frank Wagner. I want an ambulance right away. And the police. What? Yes. Wagner, Wagner, in the Horton Apartments. Hurry, please. My husband's just been shot. Yes?
Hello. Mrs. Wagner, I'm Mike Waring.
Oh, yes, Mr. Waring. Come in.
Thanks.
My husband asked me to send for you. He wants to see you. He was injured in a shooting about a month ago. You may have read about it.
Yeah, I remember. Where is he?
Right down this hall. He's still in bed.
According to the paper, he had a close call.
Yes, he certainly did. The bullet just missed his heart. For a while, the doctors didn't hold out much hope. Here we are. Frank, here's Mike Waring.
Oh, yes. Come in, Waring. Come in.
Hello, Wagner. So you're the Falcon, eh? Does it show?
Tell me you're quite the detective, Waring.
And if I didn't, I'd get a new publicity agent.
I want you to find out who shot me.
Well, don't you know?
No.
Don't you have any enemies?
Can't think of any. I'm a very likable character.
How did it happen?
Middle of the night. I'm in bed, see? Doorbell rings. I open the door. Bang, like that. I'm in the hospital with a hole in my chest.
Then you were face to face with the person who fired the shot.
He had a flashlight shined at my face. I couldn't see a thing. Patty.
Yes, Frank.
Where's Miss Willis?
What do you want? I'll get it.
Where's Miss Willis?
I let her go. You were worried about the expense.
Yes, but I'm going to need a lot of nursing. I don't want
to... I can handle it. Now, what do you want?
That's the water.
All right. I'll be right there.
Good kid, that Waring. Hate to do this to her, but still so doggone weak, I can't move out of this bed. Now, what were we talking about?
The shooting.
Oh, yes. I didn't see who did it.
You're not giving him much to go on.
All right. I'll give you something. There's a fellow named Artie Allison. I think he knows who did the shooting.
What makes you think that?
He called me in the hospital. The way he talked, I got the idea he knows something. But wants cash to spill it.
All right, I'll get to Allison, see what he knows.
Only one trouble.
Price too high?
No. We didn't get around to talking terms.
Well?
I sent a wife around to see Allison. He's disappeared.
Oh, great.
Did you find Allison? And it's 10 to 1 you'll get to the boy we're looking for.
Okay, I'll go to work on it.
Do that, Waring. And hurry, will you? Last time, he missed me by a fraction of an inch. Could be next time he'll hit dead center.
And now, back to the adventures of the Falcon.
It's half a day since Mike Waring went to work for Frank Wagner. Now in a small restaurant near Journal Square in Jersey City, Mike slips into a booth and smiles at the nervous little man sitting across the table from him.
Hello, Allison.
Hello. Who are you?
Mike Waring.
Oh. How'd you know my name?
I have your picture. I've been looking for you.
How'd you find me?
Very simple, Allison. You're not as lost as you think you are. Besides, I have my sources of information.
What do you want with me?
Just to find out if you're as good at answering questions as you are at asking them.
What questions?
Well, number one, what do you know about the Wagner shooting?
Who says I know anything?
Wagner.
Oh. What's he say about me?
He said you have information about the shooting for sale.
He's lying.
Why should he?
All right. It's true, Waring. I do have information.
Well, what do? Sit here while you argue it out with yourself?
I know who tried to kill Wagner.
Good. What'll it cost me?
Are you working for Wagner?
Uh-huh.
I don't get it.
What?
Just what Wagner's after.
To keep on living.
He says I can tell you who shot at him. Is that it?
Uh-huh. You say the same thing, so I'm waiting.
Are you sure you're working for Wagner, Waring?
Why not?
How can I be sure?
There's a phone. Call Wagner.
All right, all right. You're working for Wagner.
What made you doubt it, Allison?
Nothing. I'll tell you who shot him.
For free?
For free. I want to get out of this.
Okay, here's your chance to start getting. Who did the shooting?
Ted Carney.
Carney, huh? Why?
Well, Carney got the idea. Wagner put the law on him.
Where'd he get that idea?
I don't know. He accused me. When I convinced him it wasn't me, he said then it must be Wagner. That's how I know about it.
I see.
That's why I ran out. When I heard Wagner was shot, I was sure Carney did it. Carney knew I was sure. So he might try to shut me up.
All right, Allison, let's go.
Go? Where?
Home.
But if Carney comes...
I found you here. What makes you think Carney won't?
Hey, that's a thought.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to worry about him anyway, Allison. So you can go home. Carney's in enough trouble. Wouldn't be very smart of him to go looking for more.
That's right, Waring. But what do I do if it turns out Carney isn't very smart?
Where have you found, Allison? That was quick, Waring. Oh, not much to it, Wagner. I checked with missing persons. They referred me to the robbery division.
You mean the police knew very well?
Yeah, seems he's been a stoolie for them. They used him on Carney, so when Carney escaped, they figured he might go gunning for Allison. They sent a man to cover Allison. He followed them to Jersey City.
And Allison never knew.
Well, I didn't see any reason to tell him. But they knew where to find him if they wanted him.
Mm-hmm. And now?
Now he's home again.
Suppose he skips out again.
No, I got a man watching his place this time. We may need him to clinch things against Carney.
If we find Carney. Wonder where he got the idea I tipped him to the police.
From Allison, no doubt.
Did you say Allison?
Allison's a liar. I'm willing to bet he steered Carney to you,
who in turn came gunning for me.
Could be.
So now all we need is to find Carney.
That's what I like about working for you, Wagner. Just one goose chase after another.
Well, where ain't? What's better for chasing geese than a falcon?
Oh, Mrs. Wagner, come in.
Thank you.
So you left your patient alone?
Huh? He'll be all right till I get back. If he needs anything, there's a phone right by the bed.
Well, what can I do for you?
I wanted to talk to you without Frank knowing.
What about?
Well, now that the nurse is gone, there's no one at our place except Frank and me. And he's completely helpless. He tried to walk today, but he only took two steps and fell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, suppose Carney comes back and tries to shoot Frank again. What could I do? I think that we ought to have a man around the place. Don't you? At least at night?
Might be a good idea.
I didn't say anything to Frank. I didn't want to worry him.
Well, I'll see if I can get you someone.
Someone? But I...
What's the matter? Well,
nothing. It's just that, well, you're already in the case, and we do have a guest room, and...
I see. Tell me something, Mrs. Wagner.
Why don't you call me Patty now that we know each other?
Do we?
Well, don't we? I feel as if I'd known you all my life.
I feel as though I've known you all of 20 minutes.
Well, if you come to our place, you'll get a chance to know me better.
That I believe.
You don't like me, do you?
Did I say that?
You think I'm a heel because Frank's laid up?
He told me you're a good gal.
Don't take him too seriously, Mike. He talks for effect, too. Will you come?
To protect Frank?
Well, Carney might come back.
You sure it's Carney?
Well, I thought that was settled.
No, not quite. There are a couple of things. What can you tell me about the shooting? Can you add anything to what your husband told me?
I'm afraid not. I wasn't home that night.
Oh?
You're trying to suggest something.
No, no. Excuse me, Patty. Hello?
Waring? This is Frank Wagner.
Oh, yes, Wagner. What is it?
Frank, what does he want?
Allison just phoned, Waring. He wanted Jew. Says he's contacting Connie. Knows where you can find him.
Where?
He wouldn't say over the phone. I think he wants cash.
Starting that routine again. All right, Wagner, I'll go right over. So long.
What is it?
We're going to visit Allison.
I have to get back to Frank. He's alone.
Maybe he's better off that way.
Why do you say that?
Never mind. But if we're going to get to know each other, we might as well start by sticking together now.
Don't you walk so fast?
Something's going on that I don't like. Here we are. I had a man stationed across the street to see that Allison didn't leave, but he wasn't there when we came in.
What does that mean?
It could mean that Allison has left and my man's tailing him. But then why would Allison send for us? I hear somebody. Maybe we'll find out.
Oh, you, Waring.
So you're not tailing him. I thought I asked you to stay across the street, Lippert, unless Allison went out.
He's out.
Then what are you doing here? Why aren't you tailing him?
This is where he's out. For keeps.
What?
I heard a shot. I came up to investigate. Somebody must have come in the back way. Allison's dead. You want to look for yourself?
After dark already. I didn't intend to be gone this long. I hope Frank's all right.
Do you?
Believe it or not, Mike, I don't want anything to happen to him. Then I'd really feel guilty. And stop smiling.
Was I smiling?
Well, after all, I'm the one who called the ambulance when Frank was shot. I saved his life. Don't forget that.
You called the ambulance?
Yes.
Thought you weren't home that night.
I got home a little after the shooting and found Frank on the floor.
Oh, I see.
Besides, if I meant any harm to Frank now, would I ask you to come along to protect him?
Is that why you asked me?
One of the reasons. Of course, I do have others.
Yes, so I've noticed.
I think we'd get along, Mike, once you get over your silly suspicions.
And once you get the idea that all I'm going along for is to protect Frank.
All right.
Now, only one thing bothers me, Angel.
What's that?
Who's going to protect me?
You'll have to forgive me, Wagner. I make a habit of coming through windows. Eccentricity of mine.
Connie.
Yeah, Connie. I've been holed up long enough. Figure it's time for me to blow. So I thought I'd better settle with you and Allison first. Too bad you're here all alone, isn't it?
Never thought you'd be crazy enough to come here, Connie.
Nobody did. That's how come I'm here.
Barking up the wrong tree, pal. I had nothing to do with your brush with the law.
Allison says different.
Is Allison your idea of the soul of honesty?
No, Wagner, but neither are you.
You've got no call to suspect me, except Allison says
so. If you can prove he was lying...
How am I going to do that?
That's your problem.
Get Allison. Bring him here, face to face.
I've had enough of that kind of stalling, Wagner.
I don't know what to say.
So don't say anything. I'll settle with you just like I was sure. After all, what can I lose but your life?
Oh, Connie, wait.
I've waited long and... Hey, somebody's coming.
Must be Patty.
This gun says you don't make a sound, Wagner.
I'm home, Frank. Everything all right?
Answer it. Tell her it is. Go ahead.
Yes, Patty. Everything's all right.
Good. We'll be right in.
Oui. She's got somebody with her.
Sounds like
come
it.
Come on, Mike.
Yeah.
We'll have to cover both of them. Remember, you've not a sound.
But Mike wearing Frank, I thought it'd be a good idea.
Hold it, both of you.
Oh. Well, life's just full of little surprises.
Get over next to Wagner's bed, you.
Don't do it, Waring. He can't watch us both from where he is.
Shut up, Wagner.
Waring, now's your chance.
Yeah. Hey.
Ah!
All right, Patty. Shot went into the wall.
He's getting away.
Now, we'll see. He's going down the fire escape. I can't follow because he's got a clear shot at me in the window. Patty, you're near the door. Turn off the light.
All right, Mike.
That's better.
Can you see him?
Yeah, now the odds are my way. All right, mister, that's far enough. I've got a gun on you, so don't take another step. That's to show I'm not fooling. Now, stand still. The next won't be a warning.
All right, don't shoot again.
And drop your gun. Go ahead.
Okay.
You drop it?
I dropped something. I heard it. I don't know if it was a gun. It's too dark down there, but I'll go see.
What if he's bluffing?
Then I'll call it. If he shoots me, we'll know he wasn't bluffing. Oh, see you later, Patty. I hope.
Now back to the adventures of the Falcon.
It's half a minute since Mike Waring ordered Ted Carney to surrender, and Carney went through the motions of obeying.
Now Mike approaches Connie on the fire escape, hoping that Connie can neither fire nor escape.
That's it, fella.
Just stay that way until I pick this up. Wagner called you Waring. You must be the Falcon.
Yeah, you must be Ted Carney. I've been looking for you.
I understand you're a smart cookie, Waring.
So?
Maybe you'd be interested in a proposition.
I don't sell out, Carney.
So you're not smart.
It depends on the point of view.
I could make it worth your while.
No, no dice. I don't need that kind of money.
There's nothing I can say.
Can't think of a thing.
You'll be sorry about this, Waring.
Maybe, Carney, but not half as sorry as you. Let's go. Sergeant, I'll hold them till you get here.
Right, so long.
Oh, Carney, the police are on their way.
I heard you ask for Sergeant Corbett a homicide. I didn't kill anybody.
You tried to kill me.
That's a lie, Wagner.
And you did kill Alice.
I didn't.
Has Allison been killed?
Yes, Wagner, he has.
Well, I didn't do it.
Tell me something, Carney.
What?
Why did you come here?
I don't have to answer to you.
All right, Wagner will. How about it, Wagner?
It's just as you guessed, Waring. He said Allison told him that I was the one who put the law on. So he came to finish up what he started before.
I didn't shoot you before.
But you were going to shoot him this time.
I was going to make him talk.
What did you do from the moment you entered this room?
Nothing. I was only here a minute when you came.
All right, in that minute.
Nothing.
Wagner, he threatened me. All right, now let's have it from the beginning. From when he entered.
But I'm lying here reading and I hear a crash. I look around, he's coming through the window. He has a gun. He tells me he's been holed up long enough. He's getting out now. But first he's settling with Allison and me.
Oh, with Allison and you.
That's what he said.
I didn't get around to Allison. I came here first.
But you said you were settling with Allison.
Look, Waring, you got me. They're going to throw the book at me, but I didn't shoot Allison. They're not getting me for that.
Oh, we'll see, Connie. Wagner, get up.
What?
Get up. Walk across the room.
I can't.
Just from the bed to the door and back.
What's the idea?
I want to see how strong you are.
I can't walk at all without help. I'm too weak.
Can you crawl?
I don't know. Maybe. What are you trying to prove?
Maybe you're stronger than you pretend.
Why should he pretend?
Makes a good alibi.
Hey, that's an idea. Maybe he killed Allison on account of Allison sicked me on him.
You're crazy.
You think he crawled all the way to Allison?
This is ridiculous. I haven't set foot out of this bed alone in weeks.
Call him on a Waring. Make him get up. Make him walk.
Maybe I will, Connie. Provided you explain one thing.
What's that?
How come you knew Allison was shot?
Huh? Well, you said...
I said he was killed. I didn't say how.
Oh.
That's right, Waring.
Well, I just figured it was part of the same deal. Wagner was shot, so I figured if it was the same person both times, Allison be shot, too.
Except you accused me. I didn't shoot myself.
I didn't think about you doing it until what Waring said about maybe you could walk.
That's pretty flimsy, Connie.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Wagner. I'll accept that explanation.
But Waring...
Yes, it's plausible enough. So that leaves you, Wagner. I promised Connie if he could explain, I'd ask you to walk. Now, go ahead, walk.
I can't.
All right, I won't argue about it. As long as you can walk into the courtroom.
Are you serious about this, Mike? You don't really think that Frank...
Killed Allison? Sure. You know, Wagner, you told me you're a friendly guy. If I have an idea, you're going to lose your popularity awfully sudden. After all, you can't shoot your friends and have them, too.
Can hardly believe it, Mike.
Why? You were already fed up with Frank.
But I never thought he'd kill anyone.
Well, that's where Allison knew him better than you did. You see, in order to get off the spot with Carney, Allison blamed Frank for tipping the police to Carney. But Allison knew as soon as Frank heard about it, he'd try to get even. So Allison tried to kill him to protect himself.
But he only wounded him instead.
Mm-hmm. And Frank wanted revenge, so he hired me to find Allison for him. He knew Allison did the shooting, but he pretended not to know because he wanted to blame Carney. So you could frame him for the murder.
Well, what put you on the right track?
I was suspicious when Frank said Allison called him wanting to talk to me. He could have called me direct.
Maybe Allison thought you were at our place.
Yes, but when I wasn't, why didn't Allison call me direct?
All right, that made you suspicious. But you certainly must have had something more than that to make you accuse Frank.
Oh, I did. His lying about not being able to walk clinched it.
How did you know he was lying?
Well, he said he couldn't walk at all, not even from his bed to the door.
Well?
Well, it was light when you left him. When you returned, it was dark. But Frank had been reading. The light was on in the room and the light switches by the door. I remembered because you turned the lights out of the door when I was chasing Carney.
Right, so Frank could walk.
Uh-huh. Well, that's all there is to it, Penny.
Uh-huh.
And now that Frank's in jail for murder, maybe you won't be so standoffish as far as I'm concerned. After all, I'm sure you'd like me once you got to know me better.
Yeah, it could be. But I've always heard that what you don't know won't hurt you. So, Angel, I'm afraid part of my education will have to remain sadly neglected.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, Leopard Spots. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. Well, I am finally in good shape again after a very trying time in the city of Philadelphia, PA. How I get into bad shape concerns Spider McCoy, a prizefighter named Pigsfoot Grudy, and a citizen named Caswell Fish, who is not a prizefighter, but nevertheless gets into the ring with a coming champ. And how that happens, I will tell you in a minute.
And now back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Leopard Spots.
Sitting in Mindy's one night when I am joined by Spider McCoy. Now, Spider is a prize fight manager and also a good friend of mine. So when he joins me, I am glad to see him. And the scene is as follows.
Hello, Broadway.
Hello, Spider. What is the score?
Well, I ain't counted it up yet. But I see you are doing nothing, so I come over.
I am glad you do.
Uh-huh. Say, how would you like to take a little run over to Philly, PA?
Why?
Well, as you know, I am the manager of Pigsfoot Grudy.
Good old Pigsfoot. How are his eyes?
Eyes? Eyes? There was something wrong with his eyes?
The last time I see him, they are giving him trouble from staring up at the bright lights over the ring.
Oh, that. It is only temporary.
It lasts only about 10 seconds. But what is this about Philly?
I think maybe you would like to be Pigsfoot's second there.
Uh-huh. Who is he fighting?
Chester Nubs.
Chester Nubs? Spider, why do you not put old Pigsfoot into the ring against a platoon of Marines?
Chester Nubs needs one more match to warm up for his bout with the champ.
He could not even work up a freezing temperature fighting Pigsfoot.
I look at it this way. It takes Chester 2 or 3 rounds to get warmed up. Pigfoot's always good for 2 or 3 rounds.
Then he gets careless.
He has a glass jaw.
And not a very good grade of glass. Well, it is his affair and yours.
Uh-huh. Will you be his second?
The way I look at the fight, I will be his last. But, okay, I will go with you to Philly, PA. So, that is why I find myself in Philadelphia, PA, one night in May. Spider, Pigsfoot, and myself have a hotel room, and I am sitting there reading the evening paper. It is 2 days before the fight. Spider is out someplace, and Pigsfoot is just staring at the wall, which is his favorite occupation. Like I say, I am reading the paper, when all of a sudden I hear... You say something, Pigsfoot? You will have to speak plainer.
Oh, Broadway, I...
Pigsfoot, what is the matter?
Oh, my stomach. It hurts awful. I think I am very sick.
Oh, you better get over on the bed.
Oh, come on. Oh, do not bend me, Broadway. Here, lay down.
Well,
easy.
Everything's all set. What is the matter?
Spider, Pigsfoot is sick.
Sick? That cannot be. He fights Chester Nubs in 2 days. Pigsfoot, be a man. Get up. Speak to me.
Maybe you better call a doctor.
Doctor costs money.
Look, Pigsfoot fights in 2 days. It is more than somewhat of a cinch that he will not be able to go into the ring against Chester Nubs, bent over like a head waiter with important customers.
I guess you are right. All right, we will call a doctor.
So, we call a doctor, and it seems that Pigsfoot has something called an appendix, which is more than somewhat troublesome. Well, it is a few hours later, and Spider and me are sitting outside Pigsfoot's room at the hospital. Spider is saying...
He has to get something wrong in his stomach. Why is it not in his head where there is nothing to get out of order?
Spider, do not look now, but coming down the hall is Jack Keegan.
Chester Nubs' manager.
Uh-huh.
How will I explain this to him?
I do not know. Maybe if you show him Pigsfoot's appendix.
Well, 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 Jack Keegan, of all people.
What's the idea of telling me on the phone that Pigsfoot's out of the running?
That is true.
Yeah? Spider, what are you going to do?
Jack, short of canceling the bout, I do not know.
Listen, we ain't going to cancel this bout. Get a substitute.
What? Where will I get one?
That's your problem, chum, but get one. And see that he's no better or no worse than Pigsfoot. I'm taking no chances on my boy getting rough just before he meets the champ. This is a warm-up bout, just training.
Yeah, I see.
And another thing. All this has Chester upset.
Huh? How?
I spent 2 years building him up. And I've spent 2 years trying to convince him there's nothing wrong with him.
What are you talking about, Jack?
I'll tell you. Chester is what is called a hypochondriac.
I think he is a heavyweight.
Oh, you're dope. That means that he thinks he's got everything wrong with him. If he sees a picture of a handkerchief, he catches a cold.
Oh, and you are afraid this will give him an appendix?
This morning it did, until I reminded him that his was taken out 3 years ago. Now, you got to get a substitute and fast.
What if I cannot?
You will, or I'll see to it that you don't book a fight for the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah, okay, Jack. I will see what I can do.
You better. And I want to see the guy you pick. So long.
What are you going to do, Spider?
Oh, Broadway, I do not know. Can you think of anyone who wants to fight Chester Nubs?
Nobody with a head in working order.
That is what I think. Everybody dodges him. Hey, look. There is Pigsfoot Nice coming out of his room. I got to ask her if maybe Pigsfoot can make the grade by day after tomorrow. Oh, Miss Nurse.
Yes, were you calling me?
Yeah. How is he? How is old Pigsfoot?
Mr. Grudy?
The same. How is he?
Oh, doing very nicely. He has a fine constitution.
Sure. As long as he is not hit in the jaw, he is all right.
Are you relatives?
No, friends.
Oh, well, he's fine. Nothing to worry about now.
Then he will be able to fight the day after tomorrow?
Fight? What are you talking about?
He means go into the ring and fight.
Are you? You're joking.
No.
That's ridiculous. You'll have to excuse me now.
Say, she is not a bad looker. In fact, she is almost 100% perfect.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. Maybe Pigsfoot is luckier than we are.
Pigsfoot. I stopped thinking about him for a couple of seconds. Oh, well, come on, Broadway. Let us hunt up a substitute for the fight.
We leave the hospital, and Spider is feeling pretty bad. We are walking down the street when suddenly Spider stops and says...
Broadway, look.
Where?
Leaning against the lamppost. Up ahead.
So? I see a citizen of these parts. What about it?
Look at the size of him. What do you think he weighs?
Oh, roughly 200.
Now listen. Let's go up and talk to him.
What about?
About fighting.
You are crazy. He is a stranger.
So much the better. I will have an advantage over him. Come on. How do you do, young man?
Huh? Oh, hello.
Can you direct me to Oliver Street?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm a stranger in Philadelphia.
Oh, so? I take it you are from someplace else.
Bellburg, Pennsylvania.
Bellburg? Oh, sure. Nice city. Nice city.
Oh, it's not a city, just a village, but I like it.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. How does it happen you are standing here just doing nothing?
I'm waiting for my fiancée. She's a nurse in the hospital.
Well, 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 this is a coincidence for sure. I, too, have a friend in the hospital. Do you work here in Philadelphia?
Oh, no. I came here to visit Babs, my girl. She'll be off in an hour.
Then you have an hour to kill.
Well, yes. Why?
My name is McCoy. Spider McCoy.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you. My name's Caswell.
Mr. Caswell, I'm glad to meet you.
Oh, that's my first name. My last name is Fish.
Indeed. That is a coincidence also. My mother's cousin's name is Haddock. Oh, this is my friend Broadway. Broadway, meet Mr. Caswell Fish.
How are you, Mr. Fish?
Fine.
You are on a vacation, Mr. Fish?
Well, sort of. I came to tell Babs that just as soon as I've got $200, I'll buy a half interest in a lunch wagon back home, and then we can be married.
Uh-huh. Then I take it you do not have the 200, Fish? Dollars?
Why are you asking all these questions?
Look, there is a coffee shop across the street. Why do we not repair to it and talk?
What about?
About $200? Maybe even $250?
What are you up to, Mr. McCoy?
My ear's in trouble. But you can help me, and I will be able to help you realize your dream of having half a lunch wagon. Let us go.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is nothing that Spider McCoy does better than talk. So it is no more than 15 minutes later, and he has got Caswell Fish talked into fighting Chester Nose. I am not happy about this because I am beginning to like Caswell. He is a nice young guy, but the thought of $200 gives him a case of temporary insanity. Caswell agrees to meet Spider at the gymnasium to start training. He has got one day to get ready. Then, at the gym, the scene is as follows.
Well, Broadway, I feel much, much better.
Look, Spider, what about this Caswell? He knows nothing about fighting. He knows nothing about Chester Nubs.
What he does not know will not frighten him.
But the odds are a little more than 6-5 that Caswell Fish will take a terrible shellacking.
He is big and strong. He will recover quickly. Besides, does he not get his 200?
How much do you get?
1,800. But look at all the worrying I do.
For who?
Now look, I am making Caswell Fish very happy. He gets his dough. He buys half a lunch wagon at Belfair. Gets married.
I have a funny feeling that the wedding will have to be postponed until he is able to enjoy it.
Shh, look. Here comes Jack Keegan.
Well, Spider, where is he?
Who?
Didn't you call me and say you'd found a boy?
Oh, sure. The Leopard Kid.
The who?
The Leopard Kid. He is called that because of the animal in him.
Never heard of him.
Between you and me, neither does anyone else.
What?
Look, Jack, you know the fans will pay to see Chester fight, even if he goes into the ring against his own grandmother. What difference does it make who the Leopard Kid is?
Spider, so help me. If you're pulling a fast one, I'll kill you. I didn't bring my boy up from ham and egg prelims to see him get shelled by a lucky beluga.
Jack, this can never happen.
It better not. Now, another thing. Chester goes to see Pigsfoot at the hospital. He sees Pigsfoot's nurse there, and he falls in love with her.
What is the matter with that?
Just he has stopped training to be at Pigsfoot's bedside because Babs is there.
Oh.
I am now going to drag him away from Babs Kugel. I'll come back later and see your boy.
Spider, what if this Caswell Fish does get lucky?
Not a chance. Watch it. Here he comes.
Well, Mr. McCoy, it's all set. I called my girl and told her I took a job upstate and won't be back for a week. You see, that way she won't know I'm going to fight. I don't think she'd like it.
Sure. Now, we better get to work.
Sure. Gee, $200 just for fighting.
You ever fight before, Caswell?
No, I don't like to.
You do not like to. I see.
But I'll do it, because it means Babs Kugel will become Mrs.
Well,
Caswell.
What is her name?
Babs. Babs Kugel. She's a nurse. Why?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Except that I think I will need her very soon.
And now back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Leopard Spots.
Well, that is all I need to hear. That Babs Kugel is Caswell Fish's dog, and that Chester Nubs is also in love with her. It is later that same afternoon that Jack Keegan comes back to the dressing room to take a look at Caswell. And the scene is as follows.
So this is the Leopard Kid, eh, Spider?
Sure. What do you think of him, Jack?
He don't look like a fighter.
Oh, I'm not.
What he means is he does not compare with Chester Nubs.
Oh, I see. Spider, Broadway, I want to talk.
Sure. Go get dressed, Caswell.
Okay.
What is the matter, Jack?
Look at his skin. It's all white.
What do you want, the color movie?
If he goes in the ring with that white skin, the fight will look phony. Looks like he trained in a dark cellar.
Jack, I can do nothing about his skin.
Get a sun lamp. Sit him under it. Get him tanned up a little.
Sun lamp? But that cost money.
Look, Spider, do like I say. And he better look good.
Oh, how do you like that, Broadway? Now I got to make this guy look like a lifeguard.
He is awful white.
But I will not buy a sun lamp. Look.
At what?
Iodine.
What about it?
There is lots of it here. And it is a brown color. I can give him a fine tan with it.
You are figuring on painting him with iodine?
It is cheaper that way. Come on.
And it is done. Caswell puts up a kick, but Spider starts talking again and raises Caswell's end of the purse to $235. After about 2 minutes, the iodine starts to sting and has to be washed off. But there is a catch. It comes off only in spots, and Caswell looks very peculiar indeed. But Spider is enthusiastic because he says this makes Caswell very picturesque and colorful, and lives up to his name, the Leopard Kid. Well, it comes up the morning of the fight. Spider is out eating, and I am waiting in the dressing room at the gym, when in walks Jack Keegan, and the scene is as follows.
Where's Spider, Broadway?
He's eating.
And the Leopard Kid?
Getting into some trunks for a light workout.
Uh-huh.
There is something on your mind?
There is. I'm worried.
You are?
Yeah. Broadway, if you and Spider are trying to pull a surprise, don't.
Jack, I promise you, there is nothing surprising about this except the fact that I do not go right back to New York.
You can't.
Huh? Why not?
Last night I got to thinking. Spider is a pretty dodgy character. So I thought maybe he might have something up his sleeve.
Like what, for instance?
Like a double cross. Maybe this Leopard Kid is very good.
No.
He might be. So, I got a couple of friends of mine to keep an eye on, both of you.
Oh.
Yeah. Also, Chester is top-heavy over this Kugel doll, and he's bringing her to the fight tonight.
What? Oh, no.
Yeah. He wants to show what a fighter he is.
I see.
He plans to open up in the first round. Now, Chester is a slow starter, and it takes time for me to figure out the other boy's style and give Chester a plan.
So?
So, if Chester loses his head to look good in front of that doll, and your boy gets in with a lucky punch. You see?
I see.
Why did he have to fall in love with that Kugel dame?
This is a funny world, and a small one.
Yeah. And it'll get smaller for you and Spider if anything happens. Remember what I said.
Did he say Kugel?
Huh? Well, Caswell, I do not see you standing there.
I am. Broadway, did he say Kugel?
Hey, it must be some other Kugel.
He meant Babs, didn't he?
Babs? Babs? Who is Babs?
You know who she is. My girl.
Now, look, Caswell.
So, as soon as my back's turned, she's untrue.
Now, look, Caswell.
All right, let her be. But I'll show that Chester Nubs a thing or two.
You will what?
I'll kill him. I'll go right after him.
He will murder you.
Maybe, but not before I show him a thing or two.
Believe me, Caswell, you will show nobody anything but how still you can lay down on the canvas.
I heard what Keegan said. You're afraid for your own skin.
No, well, not only that, but you will get hurt, maybe real bad.
I'll take that chance. Come on, train me.
Oh, the fight is tonight, and you say train.
I've got to get in shape.
Caswell, look, there is a way out for all of us. Get sick. Have an appendix.
Mine was taken out 10 years ago.
Well, catch cold.
No.
Get sick in any direction, any way. The fight will have to be postponed.
I'm going to fight Chester Nubs and show him and Babs Kugel a thing or two. Now, I'm going to train.
There is nothing to it, but he trains. He has got about 10 hours before he gets into the ring with a guy whose left hook is dynamite and whose right cross is always rockabye. I feel sorry for Caswell, so I leave the gym and go to the hospital to see Miss Kugel, figuring maybe she is able to do something. What goes on is this.
Just a minute. Are you trying to tell me that this Leopard Kid is Caswell?
For the last 10 minutes, I am making noises like that, yes.
That's utterly ridiculous.
It is, but it is also true.
You're telling the truth?
I am telling the truth.
He lied to me. He said he took a job upstate.
But he only does this so he can get the money to marry you, Miss Kugel.
Well, he could have come to me and told me.
I do not think you have much room for criticism, Miss Kugel. Do you not run around with Chester Nubs when you think Caswell is away?
Does Caswell think I'm in love with Chester Nubs?
He leans in that direction, yes. What is funny?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Look, you have got to stay away from that fight tonight. If you go, Chester will try to show you what a great fighter he is. Caswell will try to kill him, and there will be nothing left of Caswell.
To say nothing of what'll happen to you and Mr. Spider McCoy.
Go to Caswell. Tell him he has got to get sick.
I certainly will not.
But do you not care for him?
That's my business.
Miss Kugel, you will either be his wife or his nurse.
That's his business.
All right. It is his funeral.
Well, are you finished now?
I think I am. In more ways than one.
If you'll excuse me, I'm on duty. There are patients.
Tell him to move over.
Goodbye, Mr. Broadway.
Oh, please, little miss, wait a minute. Think it over. If you will not go to Caswell and get him to get sick, at least be absent from the fight tonight.
I've never been to a prize fight. Maybe I'll enjoy it.
Not this one. If you do not come, maybe Caswell will think better of what he wishes to do. And Chester Nubbs will not try to show off.
Mr. Broadway, you're not a woman.
I admit that fact. But what good is that in this discussion?
Well, it's rather flattering to have two men fighting over you. Yes, it is. I think I'm going to like it. I'll be there tonight.
But what about me?
We have lovely rooms here, and you'll get the best of care.
I do not like the way she says that, or the thought behind it. Well, the night comes on very fast. In fact, it is the shortest day I ever spend. There is nothing to do but go through with a fight, and I find myself in Caswell's corner at ringside. The place is packed with fans who are here to see Chester Nubbs do away with another opponent. Spider is very nervous, and so am I, because right back of us are two citizens who are not here for the fight. They watch us. Then the scene is as follows.
Broadway, do you see Miss Kugel?
Yeah, I see her. She is sitting right behind Chester's corner.
I'll show her a thing or two. And him, boy.
Now look, Caswell, do not be rash. If you see or smell anything like a glove coming your way, just lie down. And do not move until you feel me lifting you up.
Look, she just passed a note to him. It's a love note. Oh, I'll show them a thing or two.
Now just take it easy. Come on. That is your introduction.
Spider leads Caswell to the center of the ring. And I notice something funny. Chester Nubbs stays away from Caswell. Does not even shake hands with him. Then Spider and Caswell are back in the corner.
Pass him love notes right under my nose, will she? Oh, I'll show him a thing or two.
Caswell, the best thing you could show tonight is some sense. Keep away from Chester Nubbs.
I'll kill him.
My career is over here and now.
Remember, stay away from him,
Caswell. Or lie down quietly. Get some rest.
Broadway, do you see what I see?
It looks to me like Chester is staying away from Caswell.
I do not understand. He says he will kill him.
Spider, look at Jack Keegan.
Yeah, I see him. He is trying to show me a large pocket knife. I wonder why.
I do not think he is trying to show it to you.
Broadway, look at Chester. He looks like he's scared stiff.
I see. But I wonder why. Well, that is the way it goes. Chester Nubbs keeps away from Caswell, and Caswell chases him around the ring. The crowd applauds at first because they think Chester is showing how good he is. Then they realize that Caswell is chasing Chester. This goes on round after round. And it comes up the last round, and nobody hits anybody else. But the crowd is cheering Caswell for going after Chester. Then the fight is over, and we are in the corner.
Why didn't you head him off when he came around this way? I want to kill him.
Be quiet. They are going to announce the result.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner, the Leopard King!
We win! We win! I finally manage a winner!
Don't let him get out of the ring. I'll catch my breath and I'll kill him.
Spider, do not look now, but those two citizens are coming over to us.
Caswell. Do I not put you in the ring and bring you fame and fortune?
Huh? Why, sure.
Look, those two guys coming at us. They wish to rub us up. They are mad. They are friends of Chester Nubbs.
Oh, they are they? Well, I'll teach them a thing or two.
Caswell!
Friends of his, huh? All right. Here's where I get even.
It is all over in a little while. Caswell cools off Keegan's boys and the gendarmes get us to the dressing room. Now, that is not the end of the story. The payoff comes a little later, and I will tell you about it in a minute. Like I say, we are in the dressing room. Spider is very happy because he thinks he has a coming chance. Although I know something is more than somewhat wrong. Then the door opens, and the scene is as follows.
Caswell!
Babs!
You big boob, you might have been hurt.
Now she remembers.
Miss Kugel,
You are going to marry the heavyweight champion of the world.
I am not.
Oh, so you don't think I can fight, huh? Chester Nubbs knew I was mad.
That is right. Chester sees the killer instinct in Caswell's eyes and is afraid. Caswell, do you think you can get that look again?
All I have to do is to think of Babs and that Nubbs. Well, what's so funny?
Oh, you big lummox. I love you.
But Chester Nubbs.
Why, Chester Nubbs was only an interesting case, a hypochondriac, one of the finest cases I've ever seen.
Miss Kugel, please leave. I wish to take my boy away. He is a great fighter.
Fighter? Caswell, you and I are going back to Bellburg and be happy.
You and I? But my career.
Look at you. Mr. Broadway, look at him.
I am looking.
Well, what do you see?
Caswell Fish.
Caswell Fish with spots all over him. Big brown spots. Those spots won the fight for you, you big idiot.
What are you saying, little miss?
Because Chester Nubbs is a hypochondriac. I sent him a note just before the fight began.
Oh, yeah, that love note. What about that?
Love note? Well, maybe you've all learned your lesson, so I'll tell you. That note said Caswell has a very contagious disease, and just getting near those spots would prove disastrous. Now get dressed, Caswell.
Oh, okay, Babs.
Broadway, there goes my career. Two times in one night.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, Leopard Spots. Listen in again next week for the Damon Runyon Theater. Damon Runyon Theater with John Brown as Broadway is directed by Richard Sandville, and the story is adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. Vern Carstensen is in charge of production. This is a Mayfair production.
There's more from The Falcon, the Damon Runyon Theater, the Relic Radio Show, and everything else Relic Radio at the website, relicradio.com. You'll also find our Shoutcast stream there with even more old-time radio, lots to listen to there, all made possible by your support. If you'd like to help out, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links on the website. Your donation of any amount helps and is always appreciated. Thanks again to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this week. I'll be back tomorrow with Case Closed, and next Tuesday with our next episode of the Relic Radio Show.